Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode number 234 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Ross. Back again?
Back again.
Yeah.
Ross is back.
Two weeks in a row.
I don't want to get sued by doing that song. Fair, what is it?
Fair use. Less than 20 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I want to go right into facts because that is why people come. They don't hear... come to hear us not talk and me not make a sentence correctly like I just
wait.
Right now.
So they just don't come to hear you at all is
exactly
what you're saying.
Okay. I've had enough people come up to me and say, wow, we hate you, and I think that's really mean, so people, please, if you're listening, stop doing that.
Yeah, no, it's what was it was
so
my favorite
sad.
It's like, oh, you're Nick from the podcast. Yeah, I don't like it.
I've had a lot of nice people lately, but remember, I'm a human being who has feelings. Way to go, Ross. He dropped something. Okay, so you have a bunch of facts, so why don't you go first?
I have a couple. So it just depends on where we want to start, but I guess we'll start with the most awkward one. Get that out of the way.
Okay.
Ooh. All right.
So
we've already started
awkward,
off.
Interesting facts.
Right, we're on a good note.
We already started off really awkward, just with my little tidbit there. What is it called? An antidote? No,
An antidote is for poison.
Okay, I can never
an
say
anecdote,
that word.
Anecdote is for storytelling.
Do we still do the segment of things Lindsay should know but didn't?
that's pretty much just called the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, like, gotcha. Yeah. All right. Because I liked that a few months ago. All right, so the first fun fact I have a friend in Iceland right now.
Ooh,
Iceland is a great place. I was there a few years ago.
Yeah, I've never been.
It's a lot of fun. They have a museum there, which is the Icelandic Phallological Museum.
Oh,
I can see where this is going to go.
It's the penis museum.
The penis museum.
Okay.
Literally the penis museum.
They have one of those in Amsterdam, too.
So I was just curious about, you know, what they have. So the question is...
And penis analogs.
How many penises does the museum have in their collection?
Are you not going to give me a plus or minus here?
No, we can say like within five.
Okay.
Within five is such a weird qualifier.
I have a clarifying question that I'm trying not to.
I have so many clarifying questions.
Yes, go for it.
So many clarifying.
Yeah.
One, is this like the Mutter Museum in Philly where they're in jars?
Some are in jars, some are like...
Or is this like artwork?
No.
These are actual
specimens.
Oh, they're real penises.
Yes, so the...
all human or
the
multiple
species? The Icelandic Phallological Museum contains a collection of blank number of penises and penile parts belonging to almost all land and sea mammals that can be found in Iceland. So it's geographically relevant.
Okay. So Icelandic penises.
Whales, polar bears.
Oh, whales.
Walruses, seals.
How big is this museum?
And to quote the website, Homo sapiens.
Okay.
Oh.
As opposed, humans probably freaks people out. So.
See, he actually answered my other clarifying question, which was, are we just talking unit and sidecar, or?
What if you put that?
It's penis parts.
It's everything.
He said penis and penis parts.
Is it,
I was like, okay.
So it's just actual penises. There are no penis analogs.
I think it's actual penises.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's good to know.
Penis eye? No, wait, no.
Penile?
I was picturing... a Noah's Ark kind of thing where they took this museum and it was just on a boat. I don't know why, but that's where my head went because it was like one of every animal.
And it's Iceland and it's Iceland, so it's an island.
Right,
so why not have the museum on a boat?
Yeah, that's where
It is very much a brick and mortar place.
Okay.
Do they have any live streams like the ham cam?
The day that I went, I don't know if they do.
Are there any? Are there any still attached? Like, do they count
visitors?
Do they count visitors within the count at any given time?
I don't think
no,
they're part of the
to,
collection.
You,
right,
yeah,
like
have,
when you were there, like, the number was up by at least one.
Right, that's so true.
Yeah.
But this is also a curated collection of penises.
Next question, what's the value of that collection?
That doesn't say, and I don't know if I want to know.
And again, clarifying question.
Priceless.
Value per...
Yeah.
Price per penis.
Because if we're going to have a draft, I'm taking blue whale number one overall every time. No, actually, that's false. It'd be a barnacle. Because in the animal kingdom, the barnacle has the highest penis
ratio. Penis to size ratio?
Yeah, that's true. Look that up. That's a fact.
Right, but look at the size of a barnacle. Never mind. So I'm looking for a number.
Okay, so I'm going to say...
Irrelevant.
I'm going to say 3,300.
3,300 penises.
Yeah. You know how big museums are? They're
pretty
big.
I don't think they're 3,300 penises big.
There's a lot of animals.
That's like more than MoMA's.
I mean, if you go to, if you go to the Louvre with like all of the different statues and everything else, there are a number of penises in the Louvre. It can't be 33,000.
No, not 33,000. But what if it was 3,300?
Oh, 3,300. Still high.
Yeah. I said 3,300. Because you got to figure that you're going to have multiple specimens of the same animal. You're going to probably have a warehouse of just, you know, just extra ones that aren't on display.
Oh,
you probably
that's right.
Have a seasonal.
Do they have parts of the collection that circulate into like
exactly.
display?
Like Martha the pigeon, she's not out all the time. Or she, well, now she's out all the time, but she rotated for a while.
According to the website, it seems that everything is on view.
Okay,
oh, well,
so nothing
that.
In the collection. I was gonna say, how do you?
But I don't know.
Quick aside. How do you organize the Icelandic penis museum
by length?
Is it by length?
No,
is it like
going,
the different galleries or like
no, I'm
this
going,
is under 12 inches, this is over 3 feet? Like
no.
Are those the different rooms? No?
I'm
are
going,
those your markers?
I'm going like, oh, I'm man, going by classification.
Inches.
Like mammal, you know, I'm that's you,
okay,
good.
Like mammal, reptile, like
yeah.
Alien.
Anyway, so anyway, aquatic. I'm gonna just stick with it. You guys get some numbers. Thrown out there.
So 3,300 from Lindsay. 3,300.
Also, I should not have had you go first because if this is your first time listening to this episode, you're going to be like, ooh.
I don't want to guess. I just want to keep making penis jokes.
That's why I'm making you guess.
Yeah. I'm going to say 1,500.
1,500.
Okay.
I'm going
okay.
to half Lindsay's.
Okay. I'm going to go, again, it's Iceland. It's the number of, it's you said like one of each species sort of thing.
That can be found in
That
Iceland.
Can be found within the ecosystem mm-hmm. that is
correct.
Iceland. So I'm going to say it's a lot less. I'm going to say 500 and one half.
500
and a half of a penis, you think?
Yeah. Right. You said penis parts. So like whale penis. They're not going to dedicate an entire wing. It's just going to be a part of the whale penis.
Touché. So now I feel like the number is not very impressive.
Not high enough?
I thought this was very fascinating. It's 215 penises 200. On view.
215.
Yeah. Yeah,
part I of feel the like if
no,
I...
anytime you get 215 penises in the same place.
You call it a Redskins game.
I was going to say Congress, but yeah.
I would have, okay. Okay, that doesn't seem like a lot. But I mean, I guess it's still impressive,
so,
but to
I,
me.
I was,
just
like,
gonna...
I was like, wow, that's a lot of penises to look at in you know, yeah. a given space.
I feel like that's something you got to kind of prep for. You can't stumble. It's not
right.
It's not the Natural History Museum.
Right.
You can't stumble in.
That's a lot of penises 30, to hit you in the face.
3,300 was a lot.
I would like to pitch a reality show idea.
Okay.
So it's set in Iceland.
Uh-huh. In the penis museum?
Can I?
Okay,
like,
I'm
give
sorry,
me
go
my
ahead.
Pitch
yeah,
out,
yeah,
man. Give
sorry,
me my elevator
yeah, yeah.
pitch.
Right.
So it's set in Iceland. Obviously, the museum needs to find all of the specimens. So it's basically like Dog the Bounty Hunter, but he's on search for other animal penises to fit in the museum. Mm. I think it would be really good. It'd be like a epic chase. Oh man. Okay.
So wait, I want to add on to that.
It's like National Treasure meets Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I was gonna say, is it looking for new penises to add to the collection,
yes.
or was there a heist and they have to get them back?
That's what I was thinking. It's
all
Scooby Doo chasing down all the ghosts that he let out.
Okay.
It's that kind of
right. All of the penises escaped.
I'm on board with all these things.
Them.
Make it happen, Hollywood.
Or
like we said,
or replace them.
Or replace
you can
them.
Get new specimens, and then it takes a much darker turn.
Sounds like an animated special. It's like Bob's Burgers. Originally, the idea was that they were going to be cannibals. If you watched Bob's
okay.
Burgers, because they're next to a mortuary, but that luckily didn't happen. Okay, so yeah. Why don't Nick you go?
Really,
on
you're going to have me
note.
Follow that?
Yeah. Is mine? I'm actually very excited
mine
for mine.
Mine's going to be awful.
For whatever it's
like,
worth, according to the website, also on the bottom of this page, children under 13
free
are allowed to go for free.
Awesome.
Oh,
yeah. Good to know. Good to know. All right. Well, after that, my boring, horrible, interesting fact that nobody's going to be like it anyway. Pepsi, the Pepsi company.
42 minutes.
The Pepsi company is opening a new restaurant.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. The entire restaurant, everything on the menu, is going to be centered around a specific ingredient. What is that ingredient?
Pepsi.
Yeah, is it Pepsi?
It's the Pepsi company.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about what Pepsi makes outside of sodas. So.
Okay.
Orange.
They own a lot of different things.
Sugar?
Right.
I don't know.
Like Pepsi company owns.
I'm going to say like sugar cane.
Okay, sugar cane. That's
a
good one.
Nabisco? They own Nabisco?
Ann Burrell. Do you know who Ann Burrell is? She's one of Mario Batali's sous chefs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a big celebrity chef in her own right. Thank you for actually knowing who that is, as opposed to the other two people at the podcast.
Yeah,
who
have of course no I know who Anne Burrell is.
Right.
I think so we've made it clear that I know nothing.
And right. She's super crazy.
Yeah.
Specifically, I don't know either.
She is formerly one of Mario Batali's sous chefs. She was one of his sous chefs on Iron Chef, which is how she came to prominence, because she was always on with him when he got challenged in Iron Chef America and stuff like that. So yeah, whole restaurant based around a single like main ingredient of every dish.
Rice.
No.
Guacamole.
It's, no, I mean, it's
gonna,
a weird, it's not going to be like a staple.
Avocado toast.
Where is the restaurant? Because that might actually
help. No, that might help.
New York. Because
oh,
where else would it be? No.
City or like Albany?
Trash,
it just says
worms,
New York. I assume
bugs.
City. No, no, but you're much closer.
I have no idea.
Like crickets?
No.
I have no idea.
That would fall under bugs.
Yeah, but I wanted to be specific.
Lindsay, generally no for bugs.
Stingrays.
Ross, specifically no. Stingrays.
I don't know. Okay. I'm just throwing out animals.
So
why don't you tell us?
Cheetos.
Cheetos.
Oh, okay.
Everything on the menu is Cheeto-based.
And how does Anne Burrell fit into this?
She's the
head chef?
She's designed all of the recipes and like, yeah.
Wow.
I'd go. I like Cheetos.
I'd give it a run.
Except if you try to tell me that it's a flaming hot Cheeto, I'm out. Hate that spicy stuff. But regular Cheetos, I'm in.
That's like Sarah's favorite
super
thing
important
in the world.
Question,
I love
though.
Flaming hot Cheetos.
Yeah. Puffs or crunchy?
I would imagine a variety, though, would be.
Yeah, it would be all Cheetos. I would assume it's all varieties of Frito-Lay Cheetos, which are owned by Pepsi Company.
The flaming hot Cheetos on the buffalo wings.
It's probably delicious.
Right?
I know what I'm doing.
Flaming hot Cheetos inside of burritos.
Oh, there's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Or that
Flaming Hot Cheetos inside of anything Taco Bell makes.
So, fun fact, you can like use Cheetos as breading for chicken, and I have done that before.
That's probably
and
one of the recipes.
Actually very good.
It's probably one of the recipes I would imagine. You'd
it
have to have some kind of crust.
Solid.
I believe you can also use Cheetos to as like kindling to start a fire, like massively flammable.
Just the flaming hot ones. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So should I go next?
Sure.
I'll kick off. You're excited about yours. Let's finish with yours.
Okay.
So continuing on my little NFL tangent from last week.
Okay. More football facts.
More
Michael
football.
Is really excited for football
I'm
season.
I'm very excited for football season.
Right. I mean, give it a week and the Chargers will be mathematically eliminated. But
and, then
until
hockey
then,
will, and then hockey will start and I can get excited about the Ducks.
And the Ducks actually have a chance.
Exactly.
Right.
What was the first NFL team to purchase their own airplanes to fly to games?
I'm 100% sure I know the answer to this because I saw it.
You probably
it
saw
recently.
The article. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have a 1 in 32 shot. I think we can eliminate all of the
you can
expansion
eliminate
teams.
You can eliminate any left-handed quarterbacks.
Right.
Yeah. Any teams with a left-handed quarterback.
I would say the Cowboys.
Okay. Ross, do you have a guess?
They're the most valuable franchise, so that would make sense. That seems like a luxury. Or it's like a really old team like, you know,
like
Pittsburgh
Packers
or Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering maybe does it have anything to do with geography?
Like, no.
Okay.
Not that I could tell from the article.
Right, wait. So maybe like the Patriots. I don't know.
The Patriots is correct.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, shocking fact, not a 747. Actually, you remember Major League, the little prop plane that they had that they sent it in? That's what they're sending them on.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. It's like a legit
and,
747.
And
yeah.
That's a 767. Yeah. And actually, they're buying two. They're doing similar to what I believe
Air Force One
does, where they have the primary and the backup.
Right, the maintenance.
Wait, oh.
When the one's under maintenance, the other
Wait,
one's
Wait, so exactly. they, this is a new thing?
Yeah.
This was...
Oh.
NFL teams generally charter flights.
That's
what I figured,
article,
that they chartered flights, but they had their specific plane that they still use and own, and they just would charter it when they needed to. I didn't think... I assumed that they owned those planes because it's the same plane.
I don't think you can charter your own plane.
You can.
How do you charter your own plane?
Oh, if you own the plane?
If you own the plane, you're not chartering it. You own it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Wait, so I'm just curious as a background. When did this happen?
So this article came out
week.
August 9th.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So this is... They bought two planes. Sources are telling... This is an ESPN article. They bought two 767 Boeing wide-body jets in the off-season and retrofitted them all with first-class seats, some of which recline completely. Outside of the tail has at least one of the planes has the logo and the five Lombardi trophies on the tail.
Ugh.
And they got a picture of it. Yeah, I agree.
So I thought this was like a while ago.
No,
this is my reasoning was so, this maybe like
up until this point
years ago.
Right, it's 1954 when planes became proximate. The Packers bought one.
I was thinking like 70s. Like yeah, no, 70s, 80s.
It's the first time it's happened.
Wow. I was definitely wrong.
That's a good one.
Well, that's the thing. And that's what I kind of liked about this article. In addition to it, I figured there was a chance somebody here was going to see this article as well. But you start reading into the article, it kind of gets into the nuances of, because you figure just players. You're talking about flying 52 people across the country, just in players, not to mention coaching staff, training staff, equipment.
Is it 53?
53-man roster.
53-man roster. Yeah. I'm sorry, 53.
Right. So it's got to be like 150 people
to the
travel with the team.
Right.
Reporters from like the Boston Globe and
right,
stuff like
exactly.
that probably travel
beat,
with the team.
Beat reporters.
Yeah.
So airlines like Delta and American have chosen to start retiring these planes.
Uh-huh.
So
wait, it's a used plane?
Yeah, so they're
you're flying Tom Brady around on a used plane.
They're obviously retrofitting it and all that stuff. But here's the thing. These planes generally cost between $5 and $65 million.
Uh-huh.
A brand new plane would cost $200 million.
Okay.
Oh.
Bargain.
So, you know,
seems
Americans,
like a lot.
As I understand it, the airline industry in general is starting to phase out the 767s.
Okay. There's new planes that are better.
Exactly. So
I think we have an investment here for District Trivia.
Oh, you want to get a District Trivia plane?
Trivia 1 and Trivia 2.
It's only 67. Did you see my license plate? It's $67 million. Yeah, we can do that.
His license plate is Trivia 1.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It would be so easy to get to, like, you know, other venues. Right? For someone that lives in the district like me.
Charlottesville.
Right. Wouldn't
you rather have a helicopter?
Uber helicopter.
You want to drive to National in order to fly to Cleveland Park?
Yeah.
Okay. Done and done.
So, yeah, but like I said, Delta and American, they're starting to retire these planes instead of updating them. So they're just going to get rid of them and buy new planes.
Bring in the new ones, yeah.
And they've also announced that, so in this case, it mentions Americans no longer going to fly the Cardinals, Ravens, Colts, Jaguars, Steelers, or Dolphins.
Will no longer fly American Airlines? What did you say?
American is not going to fly those teams around anymore for charters.
Do you get
really?
Your frequent flyer miles if you're on a chartered plane?
I think it might.
Does that count?
I mean, if you're the team, if you buy tickets for 150 people, do you get all 150 the miles times 150
these
people?
These are the questions I need to know.
It's important.
This is the clip that, this is the piece that made me very interested. The rising cost of chartering flights for NFL teams makes the decision to buy a plane somewhat easier.
Okay.
Sources with knowledge of the deals teams have done with charter companies say 10 round-trip flights per season can cost up to $4 million.
Right, okay. So why not just buy a plane?
Right, so if you're talking...
Buy a $60 million plane? That means the plane would have to be in service for 30 years to make up the difference.
In between 5 and 65 is the range that you're looking at.
Okay.
And then one of the things that the Patriots are going to do is when they're not using the plane, they're going
to charter
it to
other people. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But cool. So what does that do to the value of the franchise? If it's the Patriots that own it and the Patriots are worth, let's say, $1 billion and this plane's worth $60 million, does that add 5% of the value to the franchise?
I guess it would be an asset, wouldn't it?
It would
be property.
Right. I don't know. The general rule of thumb for things like this is that if it floats, flies, or you have sex with it, you rent.
Right.
You don't buy.
Well, I think that might also...
That's awful. What?
It's a...
No, you don't buy planes. You charter planes. You don't buy boats. You charter boats. You don't get married. You have girlfriends.
It's a very crass but known phrase.
Huh?
Yeah, what?
It's a very crass but known phrase.
Yeah. That's I'm not making this up.
No, it's not something that Nick... It's not Nick's
personal
philosophy.
Nor am I advocating
it,
but that's a thing.
I know the phrase.
Thank you, Michael.
Oh, okay. I thought that was just something you...
I didn't come up with this off the top of my head, and it's not have sex with. There's another F word that falls into that category.
Ah, yes.
Oh, that's alliteration.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Cool.
But this is not a... we don't have to...
Alliteration, though.
Right.
Yeah.
You can say alliteration, but you can't say anecdote. Yeah.
I know. Okay.
Anyway, Lindsay's interesting fact.
Okay, so I have
so excited.
Two facts. One of them is kind of not a great fact in the sense that it's not a great question, but the story lead up is the money.
There was so much build up
at
the
beginning
of the
podcast. This is a really cool thing. It's just not really a great question. So I'm going to ask a boring question and then get into my actual fact.
Got it.
Okay, so you guys know the freestyle swim stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the actual name of that swimming stroke?
It's a crawl.
forward crawl.
Yeah, front crawl. Yeah, you got my fact. It's great. Okay, now my other one.
That's technically, in any event, a freestyle is an open style.
You can do whatever you want.
A butterfly. Yeah, exactly. You can do a breaststroke. You can do whatever you want. You
but
can do
the
a doggy
crawl is just the fastest, the fastest, so that's what everybody did.
Yes. Correct. Yeah, but I didn't know that it had a name, so I learned that. It's called the front crawl, and that'll probably be the question that we ask, or it'll be this question. So, in 1943, during World War II, the government was experimenting in new types of technology, obviously, eventually led to the atomic bombs. So the National Research Defense Committee had a project called Project X-Ray. What type of animals did they want to use to bomb Japan? And it's called Project X-Ray, which does not give you any help. Well, actually, it does a little bit.
Bats.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say bats because sonar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wait, what?
Do you want to guess too?
Well, I'm going to say bats, obviously. All right.
That's a
good
guess.
I'm just confused as how we got to animals and bombing in the same sentence.
Yeah, no. The explanation is what I'm very interested in.
Because it seemed like there was this buildup and then a question that made no sense.
So, yeah, bombs, development, research. What type
what
of
animal?
Food did the main researcher eat while he was discovering? Yeah.
If Joe has 7 apples and April has 6 pears.
But see, like, you have to understand, too, in my head, like, there's an image of a walrus exploding. Like, what kind of animal are we going to use to bomb Japan?
Yeah.
And it's like we're going to drop
walruses. I was going to say, did the walrus have bombs in it, or is it just dropping the walruses and having them explode
like,
on impact?
Like, they were like, I don't know. I haven't figured out the technicalities of it yet, but it would be like, you know.
I feel like
you take the blue whale,
walruses.
You take the blue whale minus the penis, which you send to Iceland.
Right, of course.
And then you drop them on Japan.
I feel like a
but
conversation.
But like, in my mind, that was the image that.
Right,
that
yes.
evoked.
A very similar conversation to this, I'm certain, led to Sharknado.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, so I just wanted to let you hypothesize on that for a minute.
Okay.
I'm going to jump back in with what actually happened.
Right.
Please do.
So the bat bomb was actually invented.
Wait, this sounds like something Adam West used.
Yes, exactly.
No, this is a real thing. It's Project X-Ray. It's a real thing.
Okay.
Our government spent about $2 million investigating this.
Okay.
So it was conceived by what occupation invents pretty much everything, including the electric chair.
Yes.
What
planetary protection
no,
officers.
It was a dentist invented the electric chair.
Right.
A dentist obviously invented the bat bomb.
Because these people are just thinking about ways to kill themselves and other people.
Yeah, I guess. And so he was a friend of the first lady, Eleanor Roosevelt at the time, and he submitted the idea to the White House, and it went, and President Roosevelt, FDR, approved this and said, yes, go for it and conquer.
Make me some bat bombs.
Make me some bat bombs. So the idea... He goes to the dentist went to Carlsbad Caverns. It's National mm-hmm. Park.
Yeah, yeah,
it's I've been. It's really cool. There's millions of bats in of
Too
the caves.
Too many scorpions.
Yeah. So he thought that it would be a good idea since bats kind of gather and sleep, so to speak, in these dark places. You put them on a plane. You release them out. You tie little bombs to them. They go in amongst all homes and things.
Right.
And then at a timing, it triggers and lights things on fire. So it's
they just spread like a infestation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like fires and explosions all happening.
Right. You can bomb an entire you release them. You let them infest and then you can bomb an entire town all at once.
Yeah. And that was his idea.
That is
sound
so
logic.
Sad.
Yeah. That is evil, evil genius next level thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
That's Bond villain thinking is what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So the president himself is quoted on it. There was a memo that says to go do it. The president's staff were saying that the guy that made this up is not a nut. It sounds, and this isn't FDR saying this. This is a presidential memorandum. It says, quote, "This man is not a nut. It sounds like a perfectly wild idea, but it is worth looking into." And so the government began this big research project to the point where it actually was being tested. And some bats kind of were chilling and there was a misfire underneath a fuel tank. And
of course
part
there
of
was.
Where the test site was up in flames, huge, big fire. Lots of bats died. R.I.P. to
so
the bats.
So my exploding animal image was not too far off.
No,
you are literally
an exploding animal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just when you were describing it, I was picturing just like no explosives,
right?
Just dropping the walrus on top of people.
Oh, no.
I don't know why I went to walrus either.
Yeah.
But yeah,
this is or blue whales
if,
or whatever.
If you're not going to attach explosive, you got to put like
Castor
just an angry rhinos, hippos.
Angry.
Wolverines,
yes.
Right, just drop honey badgers.
Exactly.
Just a plane full of honey badgers with parachutes.
Kimono dragons.
Yeah, so it was a big engineering marvel, too, because they had to figure out how to time it so the bats were released from their containers at the appropriate height above. Mm. They had to figure out how to actually get the bomb to strap to the bats because...
Sure. And I mean, keep bats them on, can, I'd imagine.
Yeah, because the bats can carry a lot of their weight.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen bat?
That's a good joke. I'm almost happy you interrupted me to say
all
it.
Right.
And now I lost my train of thought.
All the things you have to figure out. The height of the boxes.
You were saying bats can carry a certain amount of weight.
Right. Yes. So bats can carry, they often carry their young, they carry twins, X number of times their body weight, so they can carry these bombs, and that was the general idea. But the government did about 30 tests and over $2 million spent on this project. And a lot of people, after the big fire and things, they say that it should have been, they gave it up because the atomic bombs were in development, but it was very close to being an actual thing.
Wow. Why release 1,000 bats with bombs when you can just drop one?
Yeah, I guess. I'm just...
Quality over quantity.
Mm. Yeah, so Project X-Ray was the call, and I didn't think that it... necessarily made sense as a question, but I was really excited to learn about it. And I don't know if this influenced the Acoustic Kitty project that
I
had talked about.
I was going to ask about that. I was going to say, did the bats come first or the cats?
Cats were the 60s. Okay. So Cold War.
So bats first.
Yeah, bats first.
Okay.
So all kind of weird animal things. So expressed in another way, the regular bombs would give about 167 to 400 fires per bomb, where the X-ray project would be 3,600 to 4,700 fires. So it was more effective than they're calling it the incendiary bombs used at the time to compare what they were hoping for.
Very fascinating.
And that's all I have to say about bat bombs.
This was more about property damage and like distraction than it was about actual destruction. They were fire bombs.
Fire bombs. Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Fire bats.
Wow.
Yeah. So cool.
It's just a cool like mascot.
Yeah.
The District Trivia Fire Bats.
Done.
And now that's going to be the most prominent team name all week.
And the secret phrase, I think.
I think that's our secret phrase.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
The District Trivia Fire Bats?
Yep.
Okay.
I love it. Cool. So my last question before we go, because we're going to wrap it up. You're going to stick with walrus as your answer for animal most effective use
dropping
in
out of a plane.
I don't know why walrus came to my head first, but it did. And
yeah, I was going with blue whale.
I think I just have to run with it.
You're going with blue whale?
I was thinking of the scene from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I haven't seen it.
Lindsay? No. God.
Sorry.
All right. So there's a scene. They have an improbability drive. You push the button and improbable things happen. So there's two heat-seeking missiles coming at the spaceship, and they hit the improbability button, and one of the missiles turns into a potted petunia.
Sure.
And a potted plant, and the other one turns into a giant blue whale.
Okay.
And now they're like falling out of the sky over the planet, and the narrator goes through like what's going through the mind of the potted plant as it's falling through, what's going through the mind of the blue whale as it's falling, and then they both hit the ground. So yeah, blue whale was what it came to mind, specifically that scene of the blue whale falling out of the sky.
I want to see it. It's just on the to-do.
Yeah. It's
Michael?
Really, it's really good.
What was the question?
So what animal do you think would make the most successful...
Most effective. Bat bomb.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not attaching explosives to these animals?
It's up to you. I'm leaving this open.
Snakes. Any kind of snakes.
Well, you were saying like a honey badger or a wolverine.
Yeah, no, that's true. I was thinking, you know what? Those Komodo dragons.
A Komodo dragon in a parachute.
Yes.
Right.
It had to be snakes.
Explosive.
Explosive snakes?
No. I think if you just have a pissed off Komodo dragon falling out of the sky.
Right. That's terrifying.
I'm out.
Oh, see. All
right. Right.
So
I know. I mean,
like falling whale. I mean, I'm still going with the exploding walruses.
Exploding walruses. Okay.
Exploding Komodo dragons.
Regardless of what's dropped out of the plane, when it hits the ground, it's going to explode.
That's true.
Which is why my dragons have parachutes.
So here's another thought, and this might be a little bit more terrifying. Instead of, like, 1,000 Komodo dragons, what if you drop, 100,000 scorpions? They're just everywhere.
Yeah, I'm
I was gonna say mine is gonna be like a smaller insect like creature.
Okay.
Wasps.
Yeah, I don't know, wasps maybe, but it's something that could fly on its own. And it would be very small.
Or what are those the spider killing wasps?
I read Prey, the nanobots. Michael Crane.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, I don't know why I asked that question. I was just excited about this fact because military experiments apparently is a genre for me.
Acoustic kitties.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Ross.
And I'm sorry. We don't know either.
Bye.